and welcome to this week's weekly Yap podcast, the Yes And podcast. I'm your host, Travis Thomas. This is episode 18. Today's episode is about the parent trap. That's right. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit to you parents out there, especially you sports parents, when it comes to not your child's performance, but your performance on the sidelines, as well as your influence off the field, at home, and how a lot of times right now we are sending the wrong messages when our best intentions are to help our children be successful. So that is going to be the theme of today's Weekly Yap podcast. But before we get there, I want to do a little bit of a recap. And actually, today, I am recording this from the Toyota Prius sound booth, which, as we know, is my automobile. And speaking of sports, I'm down in Miami today with my daughter, Trinity. Her travel soccer team has a game here in South Miami. So while she's getting warmed up for the game, I am using this valuable time to record today's weekly Yap podcast, of which I'll be sharing some ideas that I'm hoping to see exhibited on the field here within the next hour. So really excited about that. A quick recap of the week, and I had an opportunity pop up midweek. I got my start at the Improv Asylum Theater in Boston, Massachusetts back in 1998. That really changed my life. The impact that the theater had on me, that improvisation has had on me, which is the whole reason I do what I do now, why I have Live Yes And, why I do this podcast. And it really all began back there in 1998, where I started all of my training, where I started performing, and where I got into corporate training for the first time. And I still maintain a great relationship with the owners of the Improv Asylum. That would be Norm and Chet. And I still have great friends to the day with the theater. Well, they were down in Fort Lauderdale this past week. I'm about an hour from Fort Lauderdale where I live. They called me last minute, said, hey, we're doing a training in the morning. One of our trainers from New York couldn't make the trip. Can you come down and help? And I would have done it for free. Luckily, I didn't do it for free. But just an opportunity to see them again, to work with them, do a corporate training. And the surprise to me was showing up in that morning, and two of the other trainers who showed up, in addition to Norman Chet, were Marty and Kylie, who of which I went through the training center with and performed with for a few years at the theater. So it was like a little mini Improv Asylum reunion there in Fort Lauderdale. So grateful for that. So that was a lot of fun. I then had to leave that in the morning to zip up to Palm Beach Island to do a Rotary talk for the Rotarians there on Palm Beach Island. I had a wonderful time meeting with that great group of people and sharing a little bit of Yes And with the Palm Beach Rotary Club. So very excited about that. The next day, I jumped in my car, zipped across state, and Saturday morning, I got the opportunity to perform a couple of hours and do a workshop for the Toronto Blue Jays strength and conditioning team and a little high-performance symposium that they were doing over the weekend. Got a chance for my good buddy Angus to come over and present to them and share some of the Yes And collaboration, communication, and some of the tools of what it takes to create dynamic teams and the skills and the principles of Yes and improvisation to help create that culture and that environment for doing that. So that's a little bit of an update of what the week looked like. And I wanted to give everyone an update on Rack Friday. Now, I think I announced on the podcast that for all of January 2016, actually not just January, but for all of 2016, my family and I are committed to doing at least one random act of kindness every day for the entire year. And I know this is going to stretch us outside of our comfort zone. It's going to stretch me outside of my comfort zone, but really excited about this opportunity. And then each Friday, I'm going to write a blog post and post it on the Facebook page. And soon I'll be posting it on our RackFriday.com page as a way to bring attention every Friday, 52 times throughout the year, to bring attention to Friday, especially to make it Rack Friday. So we've got that opportunity all throughout the year to remember that we can always do a random act of kindness. And how about let's do it every Friday? If we can't do it every day, let's do it every Friday. And so throughout the year, I'm writing down every day what we did as a family. And then so I'll be able to reflect on it. Maybe it turns into a book. Who knows what it turns into. But it's just been a lot of fun. You know, I was on my way to on the other side of the state the other day, and I whipped through the Starbucks drive-through, and I bought my drink, and then I saw a truck behind me. And here I am. I'm this puny little Prius, right? And I look behind my rearview mirror, and this big truck giant wheels. And I'm like, you know what? I said, hey, what did the guy behind me get? And they're like, you got a sandwich and a coffee. And I'm like, how much is that? And they're like, about $10. I was like, ooh, that's gonna dip into my Starbucks card. But like, hey, what the heck? I'm like, go ahead and put it on my card. And it was great because I couldn't wait to see what, you know, actually, I really didn't get to see his reaction of the guy behind me. But the workers were like, oh, wow, that's so fantastic. That's so great of you to do. I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of fun. So I scanned it. I went through and I had to go around the building. And I was stuck at a stoplight and the truck was behind me. And he pulled up beside me, rolled his window down and just kind of gave me the thumbs up. And so that was a lot of fun. And so I'm enjoying things like that. It doesn't have to be buying something for someone every day. Just today on the way to Miami, there's a few opportunities for me to let cars kind of get, you know, get out on the road or to get left or to have a pedestrian get across a busy street, which I easily could have just kind of sped through. But with that intention, again, with it sort of being top of mind, it's just so fun to go, hey, you know what? This is a random act of kindness right now. And so it all counts. And right now, you know, we're about 3 weeks into it and I'm just actually not even, but just enjoying the impact it's having on me on a daily basis as far as getting me outside of myself to think about others and to just spread a little bit of love, spread a little bit of rack. So rack on. So I will be giving you guys updates all year on how that journey is going for me and my family. All right, so let's now get into this week's theme for the Yes And podcast. And it's one that is very near and dear to my heart right now. Some of you may know that I'm the performance specialist for a soccer academy down here in South Florida called Massive Soccer Academy. And the thing that impresses me most about Massive Soccer Academy is that the leadership with the academy are dedicated and committed to the entire holistic development of the child, of the player, of the athlete, and not just the physical training and the skills training that goes into developing the player, but they're really interested in the mental development, the leadership development, the character development, the nutrition, the physiological. And so that's what attracted me to this club, and I couldn't be more pleased to be a part of it. But the great opportunity I get to have on a monthly basis this is working with all the teams, sharing character leadership skills, yes and improvisational skills, and how to create that mindset, how to create that yes and mindset, that growth mindset to be mentally conditioned, to be mentally tough on the field, but off the field as well. And so it's a pleasure to work with all these kids from U8 all the way up through the high school team and share these skills that I am certain are not only going to serve them as an athlete, but it's going to serve them for the rest of their life. When I think back on my own upbringing as an athlete, and when we talk about the growth mindset compared to the fixed mindset, which is Carol Dweck's work out of Stanford, I highly recommend you read the book Mindset. It is the foundation for what so much of the sports psychology, the mental toughness training is really built on that structure of what Dr. Dweck's work is. And there's so many, many great books out there that share her ideas in bigger and more in-depth ways. So I'm a big firm believer in it. But when we think about the big thing is thinking about the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. And the fixed mindset believes that talent is innate. And so therefore, if you have talent, you have to kind of defend yourself and prove that you have God-given talent. And therefore, it's not so much about the effort or the hard work you put in. It's proving to everyone that you kind of were born with it. Comparatively, the growth mindset is all about, as long as you put in the time and you put in the effort, talent is something that you develop and grow. And yes, we are all born with certain skills or certain natural ability that might give us an upper hand in one area. But the studies will also show, whether it's the 10,000 hours rule, that to achieve any level of mastery in anything, you just don't get there on natural ability alone. It will always be the person that put in the time, the hours, and especially the intentional time and hours to achieve that. So when you're in the growth mindset, you're all about effort, you're all about growth and learning. And therefore, failure is not a bad thing. It's just a necessary and needed step on your way to growth and learning and mastery. When you're in the fixed mindset is terrified of failure because to fail means that you are a failure. So when you're in the fixed mindset, you want to believe that you're good and gifted and that you shouldn't have to work extra hard to do so. So to get feedback from others that say, oh my gosh, you are so talented and you are so good, that feels really good. But unfortunately, it reinforces this idea that that's something that you were given, therefore you don't have to work at it. When you're in the growth mindset, when you praise effort, wow, I can see how hard that you are working at that. Think about all the time that you've put in and the results that have come as a result. That reinforces that as long as I continue to put in the time and put in the effort, my growth is going to be steady. It's going to be continuous. Also in the growth mindset, or what I call the victor mindset, You tend to take ownership of your experience. You take responsibility. When something goes wrong, you figure out what you can learn from it. When you're in the fixed mindset or the victim mindset, you love to blame, complain, and make excuses. You love to blame referees. You blame coaches. You blame teammates. You complain about the weather. You complain about the conditions. You make excuses about every possible thing. Why? Because you don't want to accept that there is more for you to do. You don't want to accept that the outcome wasn't your fault. And or you will take it to the level of you will blame and complain about yourself, therefore making it easy for you to quit or not have to grow and develop because you believe you are not given the ability to be successful. So that's kind of the victim victor or the growth or fixed mindset in a nutshell. And that's why what I get to do with the Massive Soccer Club is really help the kids develop the difference between the growth and the fixed mindset and how they can develop those skills and really take ownership so that they're not allowing themselves to slip into a pit of making excuses and taking the easy way out. My experience has been kids are super receptive to this. Not that it's easy, but they are super receptive to this. The more we work with them, they get it, it clicks, they make improvement, and you can really see the tangible results. But the biggest problem, or the bigger problem, and I can relate to it, is with the parents. Now, I grew up, admittedly, with a fixed mindset. And now I'm not going to blame my parents for any of this, but I carried around a belief growing up that, you know what, if I didn't do well, it probably wasn't my fault, it was the coach's fault, or it was the referee's fault. And I bought into this, and I suffered as a result. And I've seen players with tons of ability, friends with tons of ability growing up that maybe didn't reach their full potential because they had a fixed mindset about certain aspects that held them back. And just because you have a fixed mindset doesn't mean you stay in a fixed mindset, but it's kind of where's our default? Where do we tend to rest when all things being normal? And most of us, we either kind of fall into that fixed or we fall into that growth. But it's a skill set, it's a mindset, it can be developed. So, parents, right? Parents on the sidelines, parents of athletes, our best intentions often a lot have the worst impact. And I see that on a daily basis. I see it on the sidelines. I hear it on the sidelines. And all I have to do when I start to question and go, you know what? I think the knowledge that I've learned and the knowledge that I know is kind of becoming common practice. All I have to do is stand on the sideline of any youth sports game and go, wow, I think I have a career that should be okay for a long time to come, which is a little bit sad. But when I say that is, I want you guys to listen to this audio clip. And this audio clip right now is from Dan Pink. I actually got to introduce Dan Pink at a conference a few years ago. Dan Pink is the author of the great books such as A Whole New Mind, Free Agent Nation, and one that has been really powerful called Drive, which is what motivates humans, what motivates us, called Drive. What you're listening to here is Dan doing a few minute video piece, but you're just going to listen to the audio about sports and parents. Go ahead and give it a listen.
America has a problem with youth sports, and this problem has a name. Two names, actually. Mom and Dad. But the real issue isn't what you might think. Now, we already know that some sports parents are completely nuts, like mothers who sue the league when their precious progeny don't get enough playing time, or hyper-competitive fathers who got cut from their high school team and are now taking revenge by threatening volunteer referees, or barking at preteen girls. No, the deeper concern might be with all the other parents. The good ones, the nice ones, parents like me who come to games and cheer for the players and shout, "It's okay," when our sons and daughters strike out. We're part of the problem too, and it's time for us to get out of the way. For the sake of our children, let's ban parents, all parents, not just the wackos, from attending most of their kids' games. Let's step off the sidelines and climb down from the bleachers and make youth sports a parent-free zone. Now, hear me out on this. In many places, attending your kids' sporting events has somehow become a leading indicator of parental awesomeness. Can't stay late today, gotta go to Maria's soccer match. I haven't missed one of Billy's basketball games for 3 years. Good for you. But is it really good for your kids? If we feel like we're investing our time and attention, don't we then expect some kind of return from a 10-year-old who's hitting a ball with a stick? What few of us well-meaning parents realize, but that any professional athlete will tell you, is that when kids look to us on the sidelines for approval or consolation or even orange slices, part of them is distracted from what really counts, the mastery of something difficult, the obligations to teammates, the game itself. Sitting there in our folding chairs can prevent children from standing on their own 2 feet. If they succeed on the field, they, not us, deserve the joy. If they fail, and they will a lot, they, not us, have to figure out how to respond. Maybe that's why research has shown that organized sports inhibit kids' creativity, but pickup games actually enhance it. Besides, at their hearts, sports are about stories. If we're not in the stands, the kids own the story. They get to tell us what went well and what didn't, instead of us telling them from the front seat of the car ride home. Think about it. Compared to other parts of our children's lives, sports are bizarrely parent-centric. We don't gather in the back of algebra class and watch students solve quadratic equations. In music and dance and theater, we don't attend every single practice, lesson, and rehearsal. We just show up for an occasional performance, keep our mouths shut, and applaud like crazy when it's over. So here's a better idea, especially for the legions of paunchy, stressed out, middle-aged souls out there. Let's banish parents from youth fields, courts, and diamonds, and let's arrange for moms and dads to play soccer, softball, basketball, whatever, themselves, when their children have a game. Our kids would get more freedom, we parents would get more exercise, and all of us would remember why we love sports.
So what did you think about that, right? Some pretty radical ideas there. I remember when I heard that for the first time, I was like, holy cow. Some parents are going to hear that and go like, no way. You expect me to miss a game or not be there? But the more I've listened to it, the more I've watched it, some ideas really resonate to me. One idea that he shares that I think has huge impact is when he says, when our kids feel that we are making an investment, a quote-unquote investment in their time, and when children feel that, you know, and I mean, my wife and I have told, you know, even told our kids, you know, two of them play travel sports, like, do you know how much money we're spending for you guys to do this? And we're spending our whole weekend doing this. And we've made those horrible statements before. And the message to our kids that, you know what, we're putting all this time and money into this, we better get something out of it, or your growth better give us something out of it. And what a horrible, horrible message to be sending to our children who, let's be honest, are just doing something, hopefully for fun, that brings them some joy. Maybe they're passionate about it, but we know it's going to develop character and skill. But here we are putting all this extra pressure on them just because it's an imposition to us. And how unfair that is to childhood for us to do that. So I loved how we talked about that whole investment pressure. Also, talking about the presence of the parent at practices and games. Now, when I was growing up, my parents never attended a practice. And if they did, they dropped me off and my mom would sit in the car and read, or she would go run errands. And this idea now, when I show up to practices and parents are in lawn chairs and they're huddled around the field, and I'm like, That's not comfortable for anybody. That's not comfortable for the child. That's not comfortable for the coach. And I understand with younger kids how you know, they're younger, you want to be around them. But just this idea that we have to be right on the sidelines watching the practice and being present. No. And then on the side, and then come game day, have you ever tried, let's say at a soccer game, to try to get your chair on the sideline and you're battling all these other parents who are jockeying for a position, right? And then your chair is 2 feet off the sideline and the kids are playing. It's ridiculous, right? And so on the sidelines, and that's where all the chatter is, and that's where you feel the intensity and you feel the passion and you feel the pressure. And here, the parents bringing all this extra anxiety and work harder, win that ball, you need to play harder. You hear all this stuff and you forget this is a child's game. These are kids out there, yes, who want to win and yes, who want to be successful, but I don't really care at what level of club you're playing. At the end of the day, it's just a youth soccer game. It's not the World Cup. It's not an Olympic game. It's not even a state championship. And even if it is, how have we become so wrapped up and attached our worth and our ego to the performance of our child on the field? And I see so much of that going on. In fact, we started to see with some of the teams how the performance on the field was being greatly affected by the performance of the parents on the sidelines. And we started just kind of having some conversations. And during 1 month, I was just talking to all the different teams and saying, hey, what are the distractions that you guys deal with during the game? And inevitably, one child would say, the parents. And I would say, well, whose parents? The other parents or our parents? And some of them say, yeah, the other parents, sometimes they're obnoxious. But always it would come back to, well, my parents or our parents. I hate it when they yell at me. I hate it when they tell me what to do, which is kind of the two big things that we see, the yelling at the child and the coaching of the child, the two big things. And we're like, really? I mean, why does that bother you? You know? And they're like, well, I just want them to let me play. I just want them to shut up and let me play. And if I were to start an organization for parents about coaching, it would be called Shut Up and Let Me Play, because that is what they want. They want your support on the sidelines. And when they say support, they don't mean they want you to tell them what to do with the ball. They don't want your coaching, and they don't want you to keep yelling at them to play harder. Trust me, they might not be doing what you want them to do, but they are playing to the best of their ability in that moment. If it looks like they're being hesitant, you telling them to play harder is not going to fix it. If you want them to be more aggressive, telling them to be more aggressive is not going to help them. If you say you need to run faster, come on, seriously? It's like cheerleaders on an NFL sideline telling the team, we need to play some defense. As Gary Goldman, the comedian, would say, oh, wow, really, guys? Did you hear them, gals? We should probably play some defense. No, the kids on the field, they are playing to the best of their ability. What they need is our support, period. Positive encouragement, period. And if you cannot give that, you just need to be quiet. You need to sit on your hands. You need to bite your tongue. And then even beyond that, if the kids can see your anxiety in the sidelines, what do you think that impact is having on them? It's the same with coaches. If players see an anxious coach, they get anxious. If players see an anxious parent, they get anxious. And we have seen games swing because one parent yells something at a referee or the other team or their own child, and it starts to have a domino effect on the field with their child, with the other players. And just like that, we see a game switch just because of the parents' anxiety on the sidelines. And we see this time and time again. Mike Matheny, the manager for the St. Louis Cardinals, when he was coaching youth baseball, he wrote what is called the Matheny Manifesto. He wrote a book about it, and he basically had the parents sign a contract where if they said anything negative during the game, that was it, their child is off the team. All they could do is clap encouragement, and not aggressive encouragement, just supportive encouragement. And then, more importantly, after that, and this isn't the Matheny thing, but from my experience, what we tend to do, the game ends, the child jumps in the car, and the parent starts to grill the child about the game. How'd you do? How do you think? Why didn't you score? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? And from my experience, and I have a 13-year-old daughter, the lesson that I have learned and continue to have to learn, sometimes the hard way, is just shut up. ask her, hey, how do you feel? Tell them some great things that you notice out there. Hey, I saw that you were really working hard. You were playing some beautiful balls out there. But not forcing the door to be open. Let them process their experience. Let them process the game. And when they are ready to talk about it, let them instigate the conversation. But we tend to ask loaded questions or we make loaded comments and they can see right through it. It actually happened to my wife and I last week with our child, where just a few comments that were made, she immediately picked up on what she felt our real question or real intention was. Let them process it for themselves. And we are just there as their parents. We love them. We want to see them be successful. But we have to get out of the way. And so I'm seeing time and time again, parents with the best intention just causing a difficult experience for their child. And the numbers are there. The dropout rate for kids as they get just a few years older, they're dropping out because they don't enjoy it anymore. It's not fun. And at the end of the day, if you look at the national numbers, if you are in this because you want your child to get a scholarship or you want your child to be a professional, the numbers are not in your favor. It would be the equivalent of playing the Powerball and getting frustrated when you don't win because the odds are not there. And if the odds, if your only motivation to get your child into youth sports is to get that scholarship, man, are you setting yourself up for failure? If you get that scholarship, fantastic, good for you. But the odds are not there. The national average of kids that go on to play Division I soccer or Division I sports roughly is 2-3% for all of sports that play Division I sports. That's play. Who get scholarships, full ride, partial scholarships, is less than 1%. Less than 1%. Do the math. So if you are in it for the scholarship, if you're in it for the professional career, you might need to take a step back. You might need to evaluate your motivation, and you might want to think about, is this really the best thing for us? And what might be the bigger value our child is receiving from this? And then to go back to the growth and the fixed mindset, we are working with the kids for them to not blame and complain and make excuses when things don't go their way. As parents, how are you reinforcing that at home, in the conversations, on the drive homes? Are you talking about how horrible the referees were? Or why did your coach play you in that position? Or why are they doing that formation? Or complaining about, yeah, you guys would have been so much better, but it was so hot out there today. Or, man, that field was really bad. You know what? Are we reinforcing the victim mindset with our children in the conversations that we have? Or are we encouraging them into the growth mindset, the victor mindset, where we're allowing them to take ownership, to take responsibility? And I don't mean in a jerky, responsible way, because parents will go, well, you need to take ownership. You need to be more responsible, where we're adding that pressure on. But we're able to have conversations with them that come from our best intentions, our best compassion, where maybe if we notice them making some excuses, we can listen to them and we can love them and we can allow them to have those, to feel that way because they're probably feeling hurt or their ego's feeling damaged. But then we can gently, you know, talk about, well, hey, what can we do to improve that? What can we do if we're making excuses about certain things? Well, what are some practical things that you can do? And we can help guide them into a direction without making them feel bad or without adding that extra pressure on them. And studies are out there. Studies are out there about the kind of influence, the negative pressure and the negative influence and what that has on results. And we know that in the workplace. The same is true with our children, from our parenting and their performance. And so this is a topic that I could talk about a lot longer, but I do not want to extend the podcast much longer than that. But I would be happy to have any conversations with you as parents about what you can do to help your child. What are some techniques? What are some practical skills? Help me coach you with your child. I'm not going to pretend to be the expert, and I'm not going to fix your situation, but I will be open, I will listen, and I'm pretty confident that we could find some solutions that are not only going to make your child's performance better, it's going to make your level of peace a whole lot better as well. So your challenge, your job for today, if you are a youth parent who is going to a game, I want you to notice your performance on the sidelines. If you, your child is out there to do the best they can in the game that they are playing, I want you to see if you can do the best you can do in the game that you are playing, which is as the supportive parent on the sidelines. How many times did you lose your cool? How many times did you have to yell something? How many times did you have to bite your lip? I want you to evaluate your own performance and see how you're doing. And trust me, if you can keep your mouth shut, if you can stay positive, and you can let your child know how much you appreciate them in a genuine way, regardless of how they did in the game, you are going to see their performance jump, because at the end of the day, they want to feel loved. They want to feel that you care, not based on how they perform on the field, but based on the simple fact that they are your child and you love them, win or lose. So that is it for today. That is the weekly yap. That is living yes and as a parent of a child playing sports. Thank you so much. Please send me your feedback at Live Yes And on Instagram and Twitter. Check me out, Live Yes And on Facebook, and www.liveyesand.com. Have a wonderful, wonderful Yes And week, everyone. Standing out.